call the meeting to order, the special meeting set for June 30th, 2023. We're appearing via Microsoft Team remotely. Trying to get this open here. I'll call the meeting to order now.
If you'd like, I'll do the roll call and then adopt the final agenda, and I think we can get going.
Okay. Sounds good. Call the roll.
Chad Comas.
Here.
Peggy Dixon.
Here.
Leo Holzbauer.
Here.
Tim Bjork.
Here.
Jim Hutmaker.
Here.
Rodney Freeman.
Here.
And Bill Larson.
Bill Larson here.
All board members are present and accounted for.
A motion to adopt the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I would propose, just in case, depending on how it goes today, that we amend the agenda to include a possible motion to schedule these two matters, or to reschedule these two matters.
In the two matters, Mr. Freeman?
Well, the petition for declaratory relief and then the hearing on the water permit.
Do I have a second to Mr. Freeman's suggestion or motion? Is that a motion then, Mr. Freeman?
This is a Hutmaker. I'll second that motion.
This call is being recorded.
Hearing a this second, the motion is adopted.
Do a roll call on that?
Yes, please.
Chad?
Yes, aye.
Peggy Dixon?
Aye.
Leo Holzbauer?
Aye.
Tim Bjork?
Aye.
Jim Hutmaker?
Aye.
Rodney Freeman?
Aye.
And Bill Larson?
Aye. Ron, do you think we should read into the record the new agenda?
I think it would just be to add a possible motion to schedule the declaratory relief matter, as well as the application 8744-3.
And should we proceed to the first item on the agenda?
Before we get that far, we should take a look at conflicts disclosures by board members. If anyone has anything to disclose, hearing nothing, then the next item would be a public comment period pursuant to 125-1. So if there's anyone that has a comment from the public on anything. And then hearing nothing, I think then it would be appropriate to consider the first agenda item.
And as we get going into this, for the sake of the court reporter and those who are listening, it would be great if you would identify yourself when you begin speaking.
And okay, so this is David McVeigh, Board Counsel. And just so to kind of put forward what we're doing here, so the things that are pending before the board presently for the purposes of this meeting, there has been a petition filed for a declaratory ruling by the Lake McCook Lake Recreation Area Association for a declaratory ruling regarding a proposed shoreline alteration. You have a motion filed by, or and an opposition, a petition in opposition to that application. There's a motion for a continuance filed by the water rights program for a continuance and a scheduling of a special meeting. You have resistance to that motion filed by McCook Lake Recreation Area Association. There was an order entered on the 22nd of June, 2023 by the pre-hearing chairman granting the continuance and placing the request for a special meeting on the July agenda. And then an appeal from that order, which is specifically what brings us here today. In addition, there was a motion filed by Water Rights for a special meeting regarding water permit application 8744-3, and McCook Lake Recreation Area Association has filed a resistance to that motion for a special meeting. And so presently, that's what we're here for right now, is the petition, the appeal on granting the chief engineer's motion for continuance. And so I suppose to begin, the most natural thing would be for water rights, as it was their motion, to set forth the their argument on motion as to why it was appropriate for the continuance and the first special meeting. And then in response, here from counsel for McCook Lake. And I guess as a prefatory matter, we should probably do appearance of counsel for the record.
And mine's Bailey.
Yes, I agree with you.
Pardon me. And mine's Bailey on behalf of the chief engineer and the water rights program.
Deborah Morris, Tegas Spatero firm on behalf of Dakota Bay. Also in attendance today is attorney Dean Fankhauser.
John Hines on behalf of the McCook Lake Recreation Area Association.
Okay, should we move on to the water rights position?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Ann Mines-Bailey on behalf of the chief engineer and the water rights program. To provide a little background, the McCook Lake Recreation Area Association, who I'll shorten to association, filed a petition with the water rights program on March 13, 2023. The petition specifically requests that the board issue a declaratory ruling that the alteration of a public water body by a private party requires a permit for appropriation of water, consistent with Mr. Gronlund's testimony to the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee and consistent with state law. The petition describes some facts in general terms and has attached to it a letter from the association president speaking more specifically about the project with which the association has concern. That project is proposed by Mr. Chicoin. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. But Mr. Chicoin apparently plans on developing an area next to or slightly adjoining McCook Lake. Part of that plan is the construction of a canal. The specifics of the exact plan are not in the petition or in the letter. The public notice for the petition was drafted by Association's Council, and it provides a few more facts, and it also provides that the requested action from the board is that the board issue a declaratory ruling that Michael Chicoin / Dakota Bay LLC are required to make an application to the Water Management Board for a permit to appropriate water before starting any construction or placement of works to expand McCook Lake for Michael Chicoin / Dakota Bay LLC's private use, because the proposed construction appropriates the water of McCook Lake and would also unlawfully impair the McCook Lake Recreation Association's water rights. approximately 2 weeks later, after the filing of the petition, Mr. Chicoine and Dakota Bay filed a application for a water rate seeking an appropriation of water from the Missouri Elk Point Aquifer. And the purposes of that appropriation was to do an initial fill of a canal, which is to be constructed off of McCook Lake. And then a subsequent, after that initial fill the first year, a subsequent appropriation to cover evaporation, seepage loss, maintain the integrity of the canal liner. That matter was public noticed. The only petition received in that matter is from the association. The matter was originally scheduled for the July board meeting. The association exercised its statutory rights and requested an auto delay. Therefore, the board can't hear the water rate application for at least 20 days from July 12th. With this set of facts, the chief engineer, water rights program, and myself looked at it. Given how the public notice is drafted for the petition for declaratory ruling, it focuses very, very much focuses on Mr. Chicoine and on the association's concerns regarding its own water rates. Assuming that the association can proceed on the matter, make the request as set forth in the public notice and not the request as set forth in the petition. It's the chief engineer's position that it would be inefficient for the board to hear the petition for declaratory ruling and the water rate application at separate times, separate hearings. Part of the association's claim in the request for relief set forth in the public notice is a declaration from the board that Mr. Chicoine's project or water right would unlawfully impair the association's water permits. Making a determination on the water right application would necessarily eliminate or render moot part of the association's request. The association is resisting this motion, but even in their resistance to the motion, they note that if they were granted their requested relief, it would materially affect Mr. Chicoine's water permit application. In addition to all of this, the chief engineer is requesting a special meeting, preferably to be held at the beginning of August. The purpose of that meeting would be to hear both of these matters together, to have everybody in the same room, and allow just efficiency of the board's time. The reason I set forth in the motion for that special meeting is due to staffing changes. Some of you may have heard I have accepted a position outside of the Attorney General's office, and I will be leaving. My last day with the office is August 23rd. After that, the Chief Engineer and Water Rights will be assigned to new counsel. I do not know when that assignment will be made. My position has yet to be filled. As I'm sure you can all appreciate, water law is not easy. It's not something one can pick up quickly. So I, for instance, am taking 2 months to transition to my new position. It's even if somebody is hired today, likely they would not start immediately. There would be a transition period, and then there would be an additional transition period to learn the nature of this case. This is one, the issues have been going on for approximately a year, and I have been involved with that from the beginning. It's just, in my opinion, perhaps naive to expect an attorney to come in and pick up a case and be able to argue nuanced water issues which are presented in these matters in a matter of 3 to 4 weeks. for that reason, it's the chief engineer's desire and Water Aid's desire, and quite frankly, mine, to handle as many of these issues and matters as possible before my departure. Because the auto delay was invoked, a hearing on the water permit application can't be held until after August 1. Again, my final day is August 23rd. And because Water Aid believes the association's position is they're going to be presenting, it's necessarily going to implicate evidence that will be heard during the water rights application hearing, it seems best to have a special meeting wherein both could be heard. We would request sometime during the first 2 weeks of August. If necessary, the third week of August would work. We just need a few days after to prepare findings for the board's consideration. In their response and opposition, I'll just address it now, assuming that I won't get a rebuttal necessarily. The association first argues that they filed first and should be heard first. Of course, it's within the board's discretion which matter would be heard first, even at a special meeting. They indicate that the requested relief would require Dakota Bay or Chicoine to apply for an entirely separate water right permit from application number 8744-3 and would potentially render application number 8744-3 moot. I can honestly say that I'm a little confused by that statement. I don't know what separate right Dakota Bay could come in for. They are seeking an appropriation for an initial fill and then to cover evaporation and transportation at the evaporation and seepage thereafter. But it seems to me to underscore that the two matters are indeed related. The association asserts that there's specific undisputed facts, and this is just merely legal argument. I agree, a large portion of this is legal argument. However, there well needs to be an establishment of such facts, such as what exactly the parameters of the association's rights are, what the parameters of Dakota Bay's proposed project are. And to determine an unlawful impairment, it seems to me necessary that the board hear the other factor of the availability of unappropriated water. And it would be redundant to do that at the declaratory ruling and then to turn around and do it again at the water rate hearing. Because even if you were to grant the requested relief, we would still have to have a hearing on Dakota Bay's water rate. Additionally, the association argues that the hearing on the petition must be held at the regularly scheduled July meeting because of the rule, and they essentially argue that they are entitled to a continuance of the water permit application until the next regularly scheduled meeting. With regard to scheduling the petition, the rule provides specifically that the board shall schedule the petition for hearing no later than its second regularly scheduled meeting, unless all parties agree to a postponement. In this instance, the board has scheduled the meeting. It was a published hearing date in the notice of July 12th. So it has been scheduled as indicated by the notice. When you read the rule in conjunction, particularly with 46.2A5, which is what provides an auto delay in a contested case, that seems to indicate the same concept, that the hearing date put in the public notice is equivalent to scheduling, because 46.2A5 says when someone invokes the auto delay provision, that the matter shall be rescheduled for hearing. And I won't read that, the language specifically into the record. But because it has been scheduled, there is no agreement necessary by all parties. None of the parties would be prejudiced because these were both initially scheduled to go in July. In fact, it gives essentially everybody a few extra weeks. And the board has the authority to control its docket. So for those reasons, we feel this is an appropriate action. We would like to conclude as much as we can, as quickly as we can. Thank you.
David, move on to Mr. Hines.
Thank you. This is John Hines, the attorney for the association. Thank you, everyone, for getting this meeting together on somewhat short notice. We appreciate the opportunity to be heard on the pre-hearing ruling. A couple things I want to respond to initially from Ms. Bailey as in terms of clarification. The association is not seeking a ruling on July 12th about the unlawful impairment of the association's water rights. The relief requested in the petition and in the notice is for the declaration that a permit to appropriate water is required prior to starting any construction. In the notice, which the form of which was provided by Water Rights, and the facts and requested relief were supplied by myself. The portion that says because the proposed construction appropriates water and would also unlawfully impair the association's water rights, that's meant to be more explanatory. The association will not be seeking that determination. In fact, what the association is seeking is a application for a permit and a declaration that would allow the association to make the argument that the project would impair the association's rights. So that's not going to be before the board when we argue the declaratory ruling petition. I would also say that in the resistance to the motion to continue and motion for a special meeting, I don't recall that says that we believe the declaratory ruling will materially affect the pending application 8744-3. I do think that if Dakota Bay or Mr. Shequin are required to obtain a different permit, it may no longer be necessary for him to pursue that permit, and that's why it was described as potentially being moot. And I'll not belabor the point on the rule, but the reason for the appeal is because of that Rule 47 titled Timely Consideration by Board. And Ms. Bailey did, I can't take any issue with her reading of that rule, but I would offer to the board that the interpretation that the AG's office is putting forward would effectively render this rule meaningless. If the board is free to continue matters without the consent of the parties, then there would be nothing to prevent the board from continuing it indefinitely. Also, continuing it without the party's consent raises questions about, does the notice have to be republished? Because we were required to publish notices in newspapers at the date and time of the hearing, which sets the deadlines for comments and opposition. If the board is going to continue the hearing, do we need to publish the notice again? Will the state reimburse the fee of publishing since it was the state's decision to continue the hearing? Does it reopen the comments and opposition period? Those are all questions that now would become open if the interpretation of the rule is that the board doesn't have to timely consider the matter as long as it's been continued. I would also say that there's a difference. The statutory right for the automatic postponement of the water rights application, that applies to the water rights permit. It doesn't apply to the declaratory ruling action. It's a different part of the rules. And I know that because the form notice that was provided to me by Water Rights to publish on this matter doesn't include that language. The notice that was published by Dakota Bay and Mr. Shequin on the Water Rights application, it includes a specific line about the continuation of that matter. So we think that the rules don't apply to both actions in the same way. And again, looking at this draft notice, which was published, this portion, not drafted by me, drafted by the state, says that after the board has heard the declaratory ruling, it can take the following actions. One, issue declaratory rulings on the requested actions. Two, take other board action as the deems warranted after hearing the evidence presented. Three, defer action. Or four, defer action. Well, board members, respectfully, we think that when you hear our evidence and our arguments on the petition for declaratory ruling, that you're going to take action one, you're going to issue a ruling. But we understand that you might not agree, that water rights will certainly argue that you need to also consider the water rights application, and then you could defer the action until hearing that matter. But it's our position that hearing these matters together confuses the issues, which, again, the facts that will be presented, the argument that will be presented, are going to have nothing to do with the water rights application. That application didn't exist when we drafted the petition. For our purposes and our argument, we're going to continue to pretend it doesn't exist. But we understand that these actions might affect one another, but we don't think it's necessary or even advisable to consider them together. And then just as far as the scheduling of the special hearing, I understand the state's concern that Ms. Bailey has accepted a new position. Our concern is that this matter will be rushed to conclusion without everyone having an opportunity to make the best record possible. We think we're ready to proceed on the argument for the declaratory ruling. Again, it's primarily going to be presentation of undisputed facts and then legal argument, whereas the water rights permit application is a bit more technical. So that's why the association has appealed the ruling. We believe it's required by a rule to have the board timely consider this matter at the July 12th hearing, and we oppose any continuation of our petition.
Ms. Morris, any comments on behalf of your client?
Yes, on behalf of Dakota Bay, for purposes of today, we would echo Ms. Bailey's sentiments and believe that the two matters are inextricably combined and need to be heard together.
Thank you. Is that all?
Yes.
Questions, comments from the board? Hearing none, do I have a motion to...
Wait a minute, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry.
This is Tim Bjork. I'm a little slow this morning, so I do have a couple questions that concern me about this whole situation. I was confused by what Ms. Mines Bailey has said. First of all, the question that I have, and I don't know if it's pertinent, but I'm going to ask it anyway, is when did the Department of Ag and Natural Resources tell the association that the expansion of a public lake by private property does not require the appropriation or a water permit? I'm really concerned about that statement, for one thing. And then when I go back, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, Mr. Hines, what's going on here, but doesn't the application for a permit require or make the declaratory ruling a moot point? So those two questions I'm throwing out there right now.
Mr. Hines, you want to respond? Ms. Hines Bailey, do you want to respond to Mr. Bjork's question first?
I'd be happy to. If what the evidence that you would hear is that the initial project that was presented to the chief engineer was merely the construction of the canal, an alteration of the shoreline. There was no need for water to fill the canal or to maintain a liner. Shoreline alteration permits are issued through the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. And because there was no use of water, Mr. Chapoin was told that there was no need for an appropriation, a continuous appropriation, but that I believe perhaps a temporary permit for the one-time fill might be appropriate. But those were the facts that were initially provided. The testimony...
Okay, so there was no connection to the lake.
It was a canal that was going to be constructed off of the lake. It was a modification of the shoreline, but no use of water. And then your second question was, I can't remember, Mr. Bjork.
Mr. Hines, I think that's a question I have for you.
It was. Mr. Hines, do you have a response to that question?
Yes, thank you. And I agree with Ms. Bailey's description of the initial project and what triggered this entire proceeding. Chairman Bjork, or Boardperson Bjork, I'm not sure how to address you. Mr. Bjork, I would agree that if Mr. Chiquin Dakota Bay submitted an application to appropriate water from McCook Lake, that would make our petition moot. His application to appropriate water from his well doesn't speak to our initial question and what we want to argue to the board, which is that under the law, his canal project uses, appropriates, takes water from McCook Lake.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Hines, I have a question for you. Would you agree with me, though, that as the water rights is set forth, the issues between your client's position and and Dakota Bay's position are so intertwined it would make more sense in judicial economy to hear all of those issues at the same hearing?
Chairman, no. Again, I think the issue is that the water rights application that has been submitted that deals with confined aquifers and has 22 pages of reports and engineering and hydrogeology and hydrology, that's all very technical and interesting, and we're working on getting our own expert to look at that report. But the association's declaratory ruling petition is primarily undisputed facts and legal argument that I think I would be concerned that if the board rules in our favor and finds that Mr. Chiquin Dakota Bay are required to apply for an additional permit, that then we would be piecemealing. We would hear the first permit if we hear it at the same time as the ruling, and then he would have to come back and get a second permit. That's going to have another 22-page report, potentially. So I think that you can argue the economy both ways, and we just think it will be simpler and clearer for everyone involved to argue our petition first.
And if the motion or the order of hearing is affirmed and we set this hearing for 30 days from now, sometime in August, would you be able to have your evidence ready by then, including your reports you're talking about?
Our concern is, Chairman, that we've been, we're a nonprofit governed by a board, and the board has been working to find someone qualified and willing to assist in this matter. We've not yet secured that individual, so we would have concerns about that time frame and just not having adequate time to get that put together for the board's consideration.
Any other questions from board members? Hearing none, does anyone have a motion to affirm Mr. Freeman's order of continuance?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say that I would make a motion that we affirm the pre-hearing chairman's decision for the temporary postponement.
Jim, I had a tough time hearing you there, would you say, sir?
I said I would make a motion that we honor the pre-hearing chairman's schedule to defer the hearing till October.
Okay. Do I hear a second to that motion?
To clarify, the order that was issued by the pre-hearing chairman did not specify October. It was a motion for continuance and to schedule the hearing on the underlying matter. Did not specify a date. And so a motion, so this was kind of a purpose for the adjustment to the agenda item, because then, you know, if you were to support the pre-hearing chair's order, the next order of business would be to take the next agenda item to schedule the declaratory ruling order, and then to take up whether you were going to do it contemporaneously with 8744-3. So the motion would more properly be to affirm the order of the pre-hearing chairman, and then move on to the next ordered item, I guess.
That's what I want to do. Okay. Affirm Mr. Freeman's decision.
All right. The first, the motion, pending motion, is to affirm Mr. Freeman's as pre-hearing chair's order continuing this matter. Do I have a second to that motion?
This is Board Member Colmes. I'll second that.
Okay. Hearing a second, let's do a roll call.
Chad. Oops. Chad Colmes. Peggy Dixon.
Aye.
Aye.
Leo Holzbauer.
Aye.
Tim Bjork.
No.
Jim Huttmaker.
Aye.
Rodney Freeman.
Aye.
Bill Larson.
Aye.
Six yes, one no.
Motion is adopted.
So the next order of business.
We would move on to this.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, David. Go ahead and state it.
I was going to say that the next order of business would be to, come up with a scheduling for that declaratory judgment, and to consider the motion by Water Rights to schedule a special meeting for 8744-3, and the consideration whether to schedule those matters together, and as previously requested in your exposition by Water Rights, at some point in early August.
Do the parties have the right to be heard on this matter?
Yes.
Very briefly, yeah, thank you, Chairman. Very briefly, I guess we would object to consideration of this item since it wasn't noticed in advance. I know the board has amended its agenda, but I believe this item was originally scheduled for the July 12th meeting, and we would prefer to have that additional time to prepare any response to this item. Thank you.
Mr. Hines, can you clarify what you mean response to this item? The item is scheduled altogether. Is that what you're saying?
So the it's my understanding that this item, this setting a special meeting to consider these two items, that topic was going to be discussed at your July 12th meeting. And so if the parties are able to weigh in on that topic, my preference would be that the board not set that date today, but wait until your July 12th meeting to set the date.
We take a short break. I'd like to discuss my counsel. David, can I call you?
Yeah.
Great. I'll call you on your cell. Okay, there, I got it. Okay. Can everyone hear me now?
Yep.
Chairman Larson. As chairman, throw out a couple things here. Number one, I'd entertain a motion to set a special hearing, the special hearing on application 8744-3 at the July 12th regularly scheduled meeting. Anybody want to make that motion on the board?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bjork. Would you repeat that motion, please?
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to do is entertain a motion to set the special hearing on application 8744-3 at the regularly scheduled July 12, 2023 meeting.
One second. It just occurred to me, as you said that out loud, that there was an auto delay on 8744-3, which pushes it out past the July 12 meeting to August 1. So, you know, as we say that out loud, since the asserted application, and you know, I'm getting a bit ahead of the game here, but based on prior assertions here today, was we had contemplated in the first couple of weeks of August regarding the declaratory ruling, that would kind of jam up proceedings if a guy were to wait until, say, August 1 to make a determination as to whether to hear 8744-3 in conjunction with the declaratory ruling action, if you follow me. So
if I'm following you.
So I guess the point there being is you couldn't put the 8744-3 onto the July meeting to be heard because it was auto-delayed until essentially August 1st. So,
well, the motion I was thinking of would be that at the July 12th meeting, that's when we decide when we are going to hear 8744-3. But you're saying now we have to wait till after August 1st to do that?
So your suggestion is that at the July 12 meeting, we have an agenda item that says, okay, we're going to schedule to hear this 8744-3 at some subsequent date after August 1.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. So understood. I think that's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Yeah, this is Freeman. So your motion is to have it set for July 12th so we can decide when we will hear it.
Correct. At the July 12th meeting, we would be an agenda item to set the hearing date for the application.
All right, this is Freeman. I'll second that motion, Phil.
Thank you. Should we take the roll?
To clarify, Bill made the motion and Rodney seconded.
Correct.
Chad Comas.
Yes, we do.
Aye.
Peggy Dixon.
Aye.
Leo Holzbauer.
Aye.
Tim Bjork.
Aye.
Jim Hutmaker.
Aye.
Rodney Freeman.
Aye.
Bill Larson.
Aye. To add that to the agenda for the July 12, 2023 meeting, we will, at that meeting, the agenda item will be to set the hearing date on the application, 8744-3. The second motion I'd like to entertain is to set a hearing date on the application for declaratory judgment within the first 2 weeks of August so we can hear the the Cook Lake Association's effort before Ms. Mines-Bailey moves on. Any questions on that motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bjork. I'd like to have Ms. Mines-Bailey explain again why we can continue that beyond the second meeting as required by rules.
Ms. Mines-Bailey?
This is Ann Mines-Bailey on behalf of the Chief Engineer and the Water Rights Program. The rule requires that the matter be scheduled. Scheduled means placed on the agenda, put in the public notice for hearing. That has been accomplished. It was scheduled for the July meeting. The concept of scheduling being accomplished by being issued in a public notice is supported by the language used in 46.2A5, which requires a rescheduling of a hearing based on the invocation of an auto delay. And that rescheduling is 20 days later than the initial date placed in the published notice. So the notion of scheduling being accomplished by the public notice is already in statute. Does that answer your question, Mr. Bjork?
Not really. Do we have, as a board, have the authority to override that?
I believe it's in compliance with the rule.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I believe the matter has to be placed on the agenda. It has to be placed in a schedule. It has to be set for hearing. That was accomplished by the public notice. The matter was set for hearing for July. The board has authority over its docket and can continue it. For instance, if it had been set in the public notice for December, we have snowstorms, and we've had to move meetings because of snowstorms. Even in March, the board would have the authority to continue.
Okay, thank you.
It's really a moot point because the order continuing has been affirmed. Go back to my motion to set a hearing on the application for declaratory judgment for the first 2 weeks, in August. I hear a second to my motion.
Freeman, I'll second.
Shall we take a roll?
Chad Thomas?
Aye.
Peggy Dixon?
Aye.
Leo Holzbauer?
Aye.
Tim Bjork?
Aye.
Jim Huttmaker?
Aye.
Rodney Freeman?
Aye.
Bill Larson?
Aye.
7-0. So this would be a good time to consider dates.
Yes.
I checked the first 2 weeks in August. The Matthew Training Center is open either August 2nd or the following Wednesday. It's available, the room we're in right now. So either one of those Wednesdays. August 2nd or August
9th.
Mr. Chairman, I will be gone August 9th.
Well, shall we set it for the 2nd?
How does the 2nd work for everyone? Mr. Hines?
August 2nd?
Correct.
That would be acceptable for my calendar.
Ms. Mines-Bailey?
I'm at the board's disposal. Any day you set, I will be there, as long as it's before August 23rd.
Sounds like August 2nd works for everyone.
Mr. Chairman, will this be an in-person meeting?
Yeah.
I would believe so with the issues. That would be my preference, honestly.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Hutmaker.
I'm not sure I'll be available then with my new knee yet. Probably not enough, quite enough time for me, but I'll try.
This is David. I would foresee it being similar to a regular meeting where if you're going to introduce evidence, provide testimony, that sort of thing, then your presence would be required. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if you were to participate in your case, Jim, remotely, you can still be considered as part of the quorum, et cetera.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to see how I'm progressing then.
Just keep us informed, Jim, and we'll make it work.
All right. Thank you.
Do we need a motion to schedule it for a Wednesday, August 2nd?
Yep.
Yes, we do.
I would so move. Freeman.
There you go. Second to that motion to set this meeting for August 2nd.
Dixon,
Norton, second.
Who seconded that?
Bjork.
Okay. Hearing a second, the motion to set the meeting on the Cook Lake Water Association's application for declaratory judgment is set for August 2nd, 2023 in Pierce, South Dakota at the, where are we going to be again?
Floyd Matthew Training Center.
Okay. At the training center. What do you want to do for start time? 9:30?
9:30.
Sounds good. Do we need a roll for that?
Chairman, I do have one question. Would it be possible to move that up to like 10 o'clock so that we can drive out and back?
I don't foresee an issue with that. Does anyone? Let's set it for 10 on August 2nd, 2023 at the Matthews Training Center.
Just
a roll for that one.
Just to be clear, Mr. Bjork, are you talking about 10 o'clock your time or 10 o'clock Central Time?
Central Time.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Chad Comas?
Yes.
Peggy Dixon?
Yes.
Leo Holzbauer?
10-4.
Jim Bjork?
Aye.
Jim Hutmaker?
Aye.
Rodney Freeman?
Aye.
Bill Larson?
Aye.
7-0.
Any other business to address?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
For the record, Attorney Dean Fankhauser is in the process of obtaining a pro hoc vice, and he will be proceeding on this case as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You need a motion to adjourn, Bill?
Yes, we do. Yes.
So moved.
There's a second to the motion to adjourn.
Hold for a second.
There we go.
Motion is adopted. Meeting is hereby adjourned.